KFSK News and the Petersburg Medical Center have teamed up for a monthly show called PMC Live. It's during Midday Magazine on the first Thursday of every month and focuses on different departments, new programs or initiatives that are going on at the medical center. Today, I'm joined in the studio by Medical Center CEO Phil Hofstetter, along with Brady Luhr and Marnie Kempe, who are both physical therapists. So I'm going to do a mic check real quick with you. Can you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Brady Axemaker, physical therapist at the hospital.
And I'm Marnie, physical therapist.
I'm Phil Hofstetter, CEO.
Sorry, Brady, I got your name wrong. That's your other, your first.
My old name.
Old name, your maiden name, Luhr, but Axemaker is your name now. Okay. All right, well, today we're going to be talking about physical therapy and what your department does. But first, I want to check in with the CEO. Just for a kind of general overview of what's happening at PMC, I know you've been having community cafes going on.
Yeah.
So I kind of wanted to hear, kind of remind listeners what those are and then what happened this last month.
Yeah, thank you. So we had our first community cafe in November a couple of weeks ago. We had a great turnout at the library, and we had representatives from the state of Alaska. With rural directors of the rural health program and ASHNA, which is our state hospital and association for long-term care. And we put on a presentation, and then we were able to facilitate a conversation with the community. It's kind of the topic was really just an overview of healthcare and then a discussion with the community members present on, you know, what kind of services they want to see, what's necessary to stay in Petersburg, basically three questions we asked, and it was great. It was a good breakout for the community to have a discussion. I have three pages right in front of me. I'm not going to read, but they were some takeaways from that conversation for the community. And really what I want to promote is that this is the first of a series, and the next one we anticipate having in January with a focus topic to be determined. One of the things I asked at that community cafe is, how do you want to provide some of the feedback to the community? I said I would announce some on the radio, and also we're going to put it on the website. And right now, Kelsey was kind enough to put the PowerPoint, the presentations that were presented on the website, and we'll also post the conversation and takeaways of some of the services that the people felt were very valuable for staying in Petersburg, some of the things they'd like to see in the future. And then we're also going to talk about maybe some topics that I would like to have some feedback on what some discussion points we would like to focus on next month. I think the new hospital concept and design, that's obviously a hot topic that we'll want to put on the schedule. And so I'm excited to have those conversations. I can't express enough how important it is to have community feedback that helps drive and empower people for their own health and wellness, and to promote some of the things that we're doing and educate the community on our services, as we're doing here with our awesome therapy program and physical therapists here in-house today to talk about those things.
All right, so you mentioned that there's a lot of information already online about that discussion. The community cafes, that's just at the Petersburg Medical Center website?
Yes.
You'll see a link there when you go? All right.
Yeah, Kelsey's nodding her head, yes.
Okay, so, great. Yeah. Okay, super. And then I also wanted to ask you just real quick about what's planned for next week. I think you have an emergency drill coming up next week.
Yeah, so I apologize. I'll have to get the date. We didn't advertise the time, but we do want to let the public know. We had we had that on an earlier broadcast where we let the community know about an emergency preparedness event with an active shooter drill. We're affiliating that with the police department, and Coast Guard, I believe, will be present as well to help with that. And we want to let the community know what's happening, so there's no alarm, and we want to do it in a structured way. So we're trying to. We will have more information on that date and to let people know that when it's happening, what's happening.
Okay. Yeah. And that's just a what-if scenario, just to keep things organized in the community. What if something happened at the hospital? How would you respond?
Well, yeah, it's actually the drill, the staff on response. This is something that unfortunately is an occurrence that happens. And as part of a requirement for emergency preparedness, we're required to do this drill, but also it's one of those things in the event of what's the actions, the behavior, where do you go? You know, a lot of components to that. And the law enforcement side of it will drill, you know, what they will do on that in the event of something like that. And then the staff will drill what, you know, they're part of it and what's the process. And, you know, there's a very detailed plan on what to do. It can be a stressful thing. So we got to really make sure we're doing it in the correct way, in a correct manner.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, anything else that you wanted to touch on before we jump into PT?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we have Brady here and Marnie here with the physical therapy department. And I'm excited to talk to you about the department that last time we had occupational therapists here. So for listeners who maybe didn't catch that show, you know, what's the difference between physical therapy and occupational therapy? What do you focus on in physical therapy?
So there is a lot of overlap, but there is a lot of difference. For physical therapy, we focus on rehabilitation after surgeries, maybe after a stroke, after a heart attack, after some kind of injury. We also can focus on just somebody that has had back pain with knee pain from no trauma, helping them to strengthen, to increase their range of motion, to improve their posture, to decrease their pain. Other areas that we focus on are vestibular rehab, somebody that's having dizziness. We do women's health therapy, somebody that's having issues with that area. We also do pediatric services. That's my specialty. And I think that the big difference with OT is that we work together, but that physical therapy does things for bigger movements, whereas occupational therapy focuses on some of your smaller fine motor movements. So we hit the gross motor, and they follow up and combine with us on the fine motor.
Yeah, just going off that, with occupational therapy, it's like the occupation of life. So things like getting dressed, getting your shoes and socks on, eating, bathing. They kind of look at the bigger picture that way. And as PTs, we might look at doing stairs, walking. And then within the specifics of like a stroke, you know, balance, falls, risk prevention, things like that. So, yeah, there's differences. And occupational therapy has an aspect of cognitive therapy as well, and coordination and things like that. That helps.
The overlap and the divide is different depending on each patient population. But it's very cohesive. Like, we work together. Sometimes maybe they're working more on hands, wrist, arms, and we're working on the patient's legs. But there's an overlap to make sure that the whole body is being treated too, that it's not separated them up into parts and pieces.
Okay. How many physical therapists are there at PMC now?
We have four.
Okay. Four. You probably are pretty busy with all those things that you were naming. It sounds like anybody with aches and pains that they just can't figure out could probably benefit from PT, like all the fishermen working all the time. I know when I was in PT not that long ago, I felt like there were a lot of fishermen around just, you know, doing the same kind of motions and all the possible injuries that you could get from that. And then also there's a big senior population here mm-hmm. in Petersburg.
We're definitely unique in the fact that our department works from anyone from 0 years old to 100 years old. So we see everyone through the ranges of life, which means that there's a huge variety of things that we can treat. In other facilities, it might not be the same. It might be more just people that are recovering from stroke or just pediatrics. We here have a wide variety, so we have to treat, you know, anyone that walks through our doors, which keeps us up on all of our skills and makes the day super interesting, because you might go from, you know, 3-year-old to a 97-year-old to a 56-year-old, and it could go from somebody that's having balance issues to somebody that hurt their back fishing to somebody that had a stroke. You know, there's all these differences that makes our job, you know, unique and awesome.
Yeah, just going off that, and the places that we work to, I find myself, I'll be in the pool, then I'll be in someone's house, and then we might be at the manor or in long-term care, and then we might be down in our department, a patient comes to us in the outpatient facility. So yeah, the variety is definitely really awesome and challenging, but really fun too.
Is there some kind of common injury that you see more than others? Maybe not just one, but a few.
I mean, common things we get are like, you know, knee pain, shoulder pain, back pain, you know, pains that not necessarily have one like origin or one trauma. It's just kind of wear and tear on the body because we you know, bring our cars in for regular checkups. But we don't always bring our bodies in for regular checkups.
Okay. And certainly probably a lot of folks want to check in with, you know, what can you do before doing something invasive like a surgery? You know, can you figure this out through therapy? Maybe.
Yeah, sometimes before like a knee or hip surgery, they will get prescribed like pre-surgery physical therapy. And we, you know, the stronger you go into a surgery, the better your outcomes. So getting that hip or that knee or whatever it may be really strong before surgery or to avoid surgery definitely is worthwhile, especially with back pain.
That's the one I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. Because that can affect people of all ages, and it's just...
Right.
You know, everybody knows somebody that's had back problems. Yeah.
Yeah. We definitely like to push physical therapy as an option and give it a try before you go to surgery or, you know, high pain meds and stuff. See if physical therapy and alternatives will work.
Mm-hmm. Do you need to be referred? How, you know, for somebody who's never been to PT, how scary is it? I mean, is it something that they can just go to and say, you know, I want to check out this different kind of therapy? Or is it something that their doctor is going to refer them to?
It is something that your doctor refers you to. We like to have the doctor refer just because then they can check the other things that are going on from the medical side to make sure that there's nothing going on, you know, with a different organ or system. And then they'll refer down to us. I would say physical therapy isn't scary. It's not always easy. But we're all pretty down to earth, and we do our best to make it fun and worthwhile for you.
And can you kind of like describe a normal appointment with a new person?
Yeah, every appointment starts out with a little bit of paperwork, and then following that, we usually just talk for a little bit, trying to get to know what their problem is, what they do in their daily lives, when is it worse, when is it better, when did this all start, kind of getting like a general picture and history. And then we always try to see what their goals are, what is, you know, what would that person like to get back to doing. And then from there, we just do a general looking at strength, range of motion, maybe checking sensation, balance, kind of checking all the systems. And sometimes you find imbalances within your body. One leg is stronger than the other, or this movement really hurts, or, you know, with back pain, like, oh, bending to touch my toes hurts, but going the other way doesn't, things like that. And then we kind of come up with a plan of care of, you know, what, you know, things we might give them for a home program. And sometimes that takes a few visits to really parse out and get the best home program for them. And there's other things like modalities. We have ultrasound, e-stim, other specific exercises we might give someone. Yeah, anything you'd add?
Yeah, I think that the first session can be a lot more paperwork and talking, and then the remainder of the sessions have a combination of exercises and stretches, the modalities that Marty talked about, manual therapy, and then, you know, we all kind of have our tricks of the trade, so different manual therapies or modalities or specialties that we do. So personally, I do a different manual therapy called dry needling, where I actually use needles to assist in my manual muscle relaxation. And then, you know, everyone was trained in different schools and trained with different theories and treatment strategies. So we all do things differently with the same, you know, outcome in mind.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the training. That's years of schooling to be a physical therapist, right? How many years did you have to go to school?
It took me 7 years. So I did a 4-year undergrad and then a 3-year doctorate graduate program.
And it took me 6 years with then a little bit of clinical at the end. So I did an advanced program because I'm crazy.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I've even heard some people say 8 years sometimes it takes to get their PT.
Every program is different, and you know, there's a standard of how many, what classes you need, what credit hours you need, and then how many clinical hours you need. But some programs, you know, can add more.
And we all pass the same board exam at the end of it all, so.
Which makes us we can practice in any state just with that exam, which we take just once, and then you just have to get a license.
Okay. And then does health insurance cover physical therapy generally?
Yes. So generally speaking, health insurance does cover physical therapy. Every insurance has their own, you know, they may say, okay, 6 visits and then we need to see the progress. Or they may say you have 20 visits for the whole year, use them how you desire. And, you know, obviously it's after deductible med and all of that kind of thing. But there's not any insurances that we run into that won't cover at all.
Okay. And then how many times are you seeing a patient? You know, are you going to see a patient for a year or just like 1 or 2 visits?
I would say that that really depends on the patient. I know some patients only need a few visits and then they have what they need and they have the tools to continue on their own. And there's some patients with some things that are more chronic that you might be seeing for a few months. And as far as frequency, like 1 to 2 times a week or some people 3 times a week. Like balance training, for example, takes a lot more work than, you know, sending someone home with a basic home program. And then I know ages too. Brady, you could probably speak to that.
Yeah, I was going to speak to, like, you know, a lot of times with our long-term care residents, maybe we're not seeing them for years of their life, but we check in every year. We check in multiple times a year frequently just to check for, like, updates. And then you have, like, my pediatric patients where I could see them for, you know, their whole lives or until they move. That's more of a long-term therapy. And it might change. There might be episodes of their life where they're going through a growth spurt where I see them multiple times a week and then times where they've, you know, plateaued and they're at a good place and I may only see them for once a month check-ins. But most pediatric patients you see, you know, pediatric in the sense that they, it's not like they broke their ankle and they're 12, not that type of pediatric, but more congenital pediatrics I see for the, you know, the until they're considered an adult, which in this setting I would also carry over, but in other settings, you know, at 20, 21, they would switch to an adult setting.
I see. So kind of speaking generally about the rehabilitation department and the facility, because I know there's dialogue starting up about a new hospital and, you know, what that might look like. Do we really need one? You know, what's the community going to do about it? What's your thoughts on the facility at PT? I mean, you have 4 physical therapists, and right. When I was there, there were lots of patients happening.
We currently have to do, like, a scheduling thing where there's 2 hours every day that you can't have an outpatient because we don't have enough room for all 4 of us, for all 4 physical therapists plus the OT to have patients. That's, you know, 10 people in a room, and we just don't have the space. So I think anybody that's ever been to physical therapy can say that we absolutely need more space. Even when we have, you know, just 4 patients and 4 therapists in there, you can feel very clustered and on top of each other. Sometimes you're waiting for equipment. And we work really well with it because you have to do with what you have. But having more space would just brighten my day. And also, you know, I plug pediatrics a lot because that's my thing. But we don't have a space. Like, I can't bring kids in. So a lot of times we're limited in what we can do pediatric-wise because, I mean, you already have – if you have 4 adults trying to do exercises, then you have a kid running around. I mean, we're here to prevent injury, not cause it. So it gets hectic.
So ideally, pediatrics would have its own space for therapy.
Is this my time to, like, plug for me? Yes, ideally.
I might not be asking these questions unless I was actually in the office myself, you know, and I just noticed, wow, there's a lot going on
here. A lot, yeah. Yeah, and it would be great to have a place where, you know, even if anyone that was seeing peds at the time could be in a different place where there's more pediatric-based equipment. You know, the equipment we have is really adult-based because our pediatric population and our pediatric services are growing astronomically in the last 4 years. So it was never I wouldn't say it was never an issue before, but it's definitely becoming more of a, like, hey, this is not, you know, we just don't have the options. And I think the more space we had, the more we'd see it grow.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me. Is there anything that you wanted to add?
She's whispering, but I think everyone can hear.
Talk about what?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of...
Oh, let me... Hold on. Hang on. There's your mic.
Oh, sorry.
Go.
So there's a couple of things we're working on, which are real exciting. I do want to talk a little bit about space, if I may.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's a good question, and it actually showcases some of the where we're at capacity. You know, they're not, like I mentioned at the previous PMC Live with the therapies program, is a showcase example of how we're growing. Not many rural community hospitals have such a robust therapies program. It's really tremendous. And what we see is sort of this you know, exponential growth where you have a few therapists and all of a sudden there's more need. And, you know, with the opioid crisis occurring, where physicians are very reluctant to overprescribe alternative therapies, physical therapies, occupational therapies, those are all areas that are going to grow, not just now, but in the future. One of the areas of growth that we've been working on is even looking at places where we can affiliate locally and outside of PMC, looking at innovative lines where we can expand and grow. And, you know, I'll pass that one back to you on what are some of the things that we've been working on to grow therapies even beyond Petersburg.
So we are working on growing, like, our pediatric therapies. First thing is, I spent 2 months in Seattle this last year getting certified in neurodevelopmental treatment. So I have a pediatric certification. I am one of three in the state of Alaska, the only person in Southeast Alaska with this certification. So with that, we are expanding and looking at other communities that we could service with these skills. I spent a week in November in Chivac, Alaska, working at their schools with their population through the community hospital, you know, through Petersburg Medical Center. We went up there and expanded our services to be able to reach other parts of the state that just don't have these options and don't have these professionals available to them. So that is in our future of continuing and expanding. I'm really hoping that with this certification and these new skills, we can service kids, you know, around the state that don't get these services. We are lucky in Petersburg that our kids often go to Seattle and they see, you know, all these specialists, but in some places in Alaska, that's not an option. And me coming in 4 times a year is like already a huge improvement for what they may have had last year or in the past. And it's really exciting. And
that is exciting. I have been to Chivac, and for folks that are listening who don't know, that's a village out on the Bering Sea coast, west of Bethel, mm-hmm. kind of northwest. Bethel's 400 miles west of Anchorage. So you're kind of out there in remote western yes. Alaska. Mm-hmm. But that's a Chupik village, so their first language is Chupik.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's really interesting.
It's, and just to jump in here, one of the, you know, issues in rural health in general is follow-up care. And so one of the things that therapies is uniquely positioned to do with something like this is follow up on telemedicine. So, you know, the ability to go to a remote community is no longer as much of an issue with access to care, because you can do things through technology you could normally do before. So video follow-up therapy is highly successful in a therapies area, whether it's speech, PT, and I'm not as OT, I assume so, but my experiences with PT and speech are very successful in those areas.
And a lot of, you know, a lot of the communities outside of like the Bethel area and stuff are really looking into those telecommunications, and it's just a way to give them the services when they need it versus having to wait, you know, for the specialist to come out or wait for the family to be able to get into Anchorage.
And those are also service lines we want to grow here in Petersburg. So as it gets developed, those are things we want to be able to offer here locally, offer with the school locally, and offer even some communities locally for those where those service lines are in need.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Alaska is such a vast, huge place, but, you know, and remote in its own, there's islands and villages, but then connecting people that way through video and technology, you know, to make health better.
Mm-hmm. And then just that may be a topic of conversation in January when we have the community cafe is telemedicine delivery models and delivery services. We're going to have telepsychiatry coming here pretty soon, And I have, my background is in audiology. I've worked in telehealth myself and helped develop a lot of telehealth models with ENT and audiology. So I'll probably have ENT available at that conversation. So there's some exciting things to come. It's not all about the new hospital and space and stuff like that. I'm very excited about bringing some of these things, unique and innovative ideas, to Petersburg.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see you next month. Mm-hmm.